Good morning. Hey, I'm excited about what I feel like God wants to do in all of our hearts this morning. Whenever I get to the end of a year and I start thinking about the next year, so my mind goes several different places. You know, one, it does go to like resolutions, and if I'm a little too loud, you can turn me down. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just because I'm speaking to myself from this guy. That's okay too, but I do go to resolutions, and I'm one. I enjoy making resolutions, and I try to think of some things that I didn't do the year before that I need to do, and usually it has to do with getting in shape or fitness. And I'm not sure if that's you, if you guys are, or if you just kind of given up on resolutions altogether. I read this week by January 12th, most all resolutions are completely broken. 12 days. So it could be you're just kind of burnt out with resolutions. You know what? I've just resolved not to resolve anything at all. So then I don't disappoint myself anymore. Then I read, continued reading, and I read that by February, 80% are completely blown. And roughly 8% of those people that actually make resolutions keep them to the end of the year. About 8% is what they say. And it's probably smaller than that, if we're honest. But I don't know about you, whether it's okay. My resolution this year is to, you know, I want to buy a house, and so I want to save a lot of money. Or I'm going to start reading this year. I'm going to read a book this year. Maybe it's I'm going to stop smoking, or I'm going to stop this specific thing, or I'm going to get fit or get... I've been trying to get ripped for 20 years, and that's like my thing every year, and that never seems to happen. But one day, this is it. This is the year. I keep telling myself that. That's kind of a running joke in my family. So I don't know what that is for you, but the most important thing for me, and again, I do enjoy making resolutions, and I really do try to keep them the best that I can. But more than anything, what I try to do is evaluate, okay, I try to ask myself a series of questions. So, and they're more heart-probing questions as I think through how I lived this past year. And so I want to ask myself questions like, was I a good forgiver this year? Like, was I a giver of forgiveness? Was I faithful to the Lord in different areas of my life? Was I quick to repent when I was sinning? I try to ask myself heart-probing questions to get at where I am and how I did this past year. And then I sort of set commitments, and I see at where I am so that then I can commit to the next year, striving to be a more faithful follower of Jesus in those specific areas, whether it's giving or loving or reading or praying or whatever those things are that God reveals to me. So this morning, I want us to do that. So we're going to have some time for reflection, personal examination, where it's not me talking to you. It's not us even talking at all. It's really just us seeking the Lord and saying, okay, Lord Jesus, are there areas in my life, in my heart, and it's sort of like, where am I? Sort of that self-evaluation. And so what I have, in just a little bit, I'll give you the instructions, but I have some paper up here. If you already have a notepad or a journal or paper, that's great. If you don't have a pen, I've got some pens up here for you. But my encouragement is to every single person to have a piece of paper and an ink pen so that you can write down some questions. And then there's a couple of prayers that I'm going to have you just sort of pen and write to the Lord this morning. So those will be here in just a few minutes. You can get those. You don't need that at the very moment. So the new year is a good time for us to evaluate. Say, okay, where am I at? What do I need? Where do I need to work on? What do I need to grow on? Where do I need to trust Jesus more? What do I need to surrender over to Him? And it's a good time every year for me to do that heart check. The problem is for a lot of us is that we're really good at making commitments. Like the problem is not that we make commitments. We don't have a problem making them. We're just really bad at keeping them. And that's all across the board in so many different areas of our lives. We're just not very good at keeping our word or keeping the commitments that we make. I think one of the problems is that we try to, one, do it on our own, that we were never meant to do, instead of relying on the grace that Jesus offers to us and submitting those things to Him. But that's a problem. It's not okay just for me to say, guys, I want to confess to you that that I'm good at making commitments, but I'm not good at keeping them. Like, that's not okay just for me to say that. That's a good confession to make, but it's not okay to stay that way. Because Jesus told us in John, He said, if you love me, you will what? You'll keep my commandments, right? So then, my level of obedience to Jesus reveals my level of love for Him. Okay, so let me say that again. My level of obedience to Jesus really reveals and reflects my level of love for Him. So then, if I'm living a life walking in continual unrepentance and my own way and continual rebellion, well, then I'm really revealing that there's not much love in my heart for the Lord. And then there's a whole nother level of questions that I need to ask and examine myself for. In Matthew chapter 7, this will be on the screen for you. After teaching in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 and Matthew 7, Jesus is, I mean, this huge, probably one of the most, the deepest theological teaching that we get from Jesus, by far the most exhaustive teaching that we have from Jesus, right here in these chapters. At the very end of it, Jesus tells us something that's very important. And He says, everyone, verse 24 of Matthew 7, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rains came and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it, because it was not founded upon the rock, the foundation. So Jesus is telling us two important things. It's important for us to hear His word, right? So we do. We need to come to gather together and hear and listen to the word of God. We need to open the word of God. By the way, Sunday morning should not be the only time you're hearing the word of God. Right? It shouldn't just be, you know, you're hearing one time, one message, one time a week. It needs to be daily time where you're in His Word day after day, where you're listening to and taking in the Word of God. That's for me and that's for you. That's all for all of us. So it's important that we hear the Word of God, all of us. But hearing alone is not enough. And Jesus, time and time again, would talk to people and say, all you're doing is just listening. It's going in one ear and out the other. You're not hearing and you're not responding. You're not listening. You're not doing or obeying my commands. So growing up, my mom and dad would always tell us again and again, listen and obey. Listen and obey. All right, listen to mommy and daddy and obey what you said. I wasn't really good at either one of them. I wasn't really good at listening and I wasn't really good at obeying either. One particular time was when I was a kid. Mom and dad had told me to, I wanted to ride my bike outside, and so mom said, Jared, stay in the yard. Ride your bike, that's great, but ride your bike, but stay in our yard. Well, I didn't listen, and I heard her, but I didn't listen, I didn't obey, and so I ended up driving around the neighborhood, and by accident, I was cutting through, on my way home, cutting through one of my neighbor's yards. And I accidentally cut right through her flower garden. And I just messed this thing up. And it wasn't a minute or two later, I got home and the phone rang. And neighbor called mom and dad and told them what had happened. Mom took me in the bathroom and it was not a pretty picture. I was feeling the sting of that for a while on my hiney. So, I just said hiney. Okay, so... you get all got on tape. It's okay. Kevin said some worse things. Here's the point. I didn't listen. And because I didn't listen and obey, I ended up at a place that I didn't intend to be. You hear where I'm going? I didn't mean to do that. I didn't intend on that. But because I didn't listen to some some guardrails, some guidelines that were placed there for me. Out of love, I crossed those and I ended up in a place I didn't want to. When God gives us his commandments, he doesn't do so out of a way to just domineer over his creation. He does so in a loving way as a parent would to guard his children. That's why God gives his commandments to us. Well, there's several reasons why he gives us his commandments. That's one of them. To keep us from ending up in a place where we don't need to be and don't want to be. So now I say the same thing to my kids, Emma, Hannah, Michaela, listen and obey. We say it all the time, listen and obey, listen and obey. Not because I want to domineer over my kids and tell them what to do, because I want what's best for them. I want them to flourish. I don't want them to get hurt. I want what's best for them because I love them with all of my heart. And so I tell them often, listen and obey. The commandment of Jesus to us is to listen to his word and to do what it says, to listen and obey. So this morning, what I want us to do, we're going to have some time for, there's two specific prayers that I want us to pray this morning. And each prayer is going to look different based on how God leads in your heart. But one is just a prayer of confession. And what that means simply is that we're going to pray and ask, after we've asked ourselves a series of questions and asking the Lord to examine our heart, is to write a prayer of confession. And that is a repentance for things that he's revealed to you, where we've fallen short, where we've failed to live up to what he has called us to, where we've disobeyed, where we've sinned in our life. So we're going to write a prayer of confession. The next prayer that I want us to write was going to be a prayer of consecration. Really, that word just simply means dedication, where I'm committing and dedicating the entirety of who I am to the Lord Jesus for this next year. And so it's a prayer of confession and then a prayer of dedication or consecration, where I'm setting myself aside to the purposes and the desire and the will of my Lord Jesus, my King. What I want us to do, I'm going to read some questions off for you. If you have something to write on, that's awesome. If you don't, there's some right here. You can just come grab one. And if you need something, somebody who's coming up can grab one for you. Just everybody needs a pen and a piece of paper. So as we examine our hearts and ask the Lord to show us what's in our heart, I'm not as much as concerned about what resolutions you broke, like, okay, did I get a six-pack or not? I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is, okay, God, are there areas in my life where I have, where I've specifically sinned against you or against my family or things that I know that you've called me to do, so whether it's a sin of commission, something that I've done, or something that he's told me to do that I haven't, sin of omission, not doing what he has called us to do and be. So some questions to be thinking through as you pray and seek the Lord. Are there relationships that I have broken because of something that I've said or done? So you can write that down or you can just think about it. Questions to ask the Lord. Are there relationships that I've broken because of something that I have said or done? Specifically, is there something that I would need to seek forgiveness for from someone? Is there someone who has sinned against me that I need to forgive? Is there someone who sinned against me, hurt me, disappointed me, frustrated me, that I need to forgive? Is there a secret sin that I need to confess? Maybe your wife doesn't know about it, your husband doesn't know about it, parents don't know about it, friends don't know about it. Is there a secret sin that I need to confess? Have I grown in faith this year, or have I wavered in my faith this year? Have I grown in faith or wavered in faith? How much time did I actually spend in prayer during the day? And how much time did I actually spend in God's Word? How did I do this year in loving others? how was I loving my wife or my husband? How did I do in loving my neighbor, loving my enemy? God calls us in 1 Corinthians that we are his ambassadors, given a message to share with others. Was I a good ambassador this year, or was I a poor ambassador? How did I represent Jesus this year? Let me say one more thing. These questions, and I just wrote these questions down as I was praying. These are meant to bring conviction. They are in no means meant to bring condemnation. There's a difference. In Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." As a follower of Jesus, you are not under the condemnation of God. And so this is not meant to bring guilt and shame and condemnation. It's meant to invoke response. Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you for being gracious enough to show me where I've sinned, and help me by that same grace that you revealed my sin to then help me walk in freedom. Help me walk in repentance. Help me walk in this new life that you've placed before me. But never condemnation. So now this next prayer is up to you. It's sort of a discipline. I really like to jot down to actually prayer journal. And maybe that's something that you want to start this next year, or something, just maybe every day, just writing out your prayers. It just helps me. I can be so often scatterbrained. To just really think through what I'm saying, and so I don't want you just to whether you ever do it again or not, I want you to pin a prayer to the Lord. The first one would be just a prayer of confession. And I'm going to be quiet. Some music's going to start, and I just want you to maybe you whether you go over those questions in your heart, and then just begin to write that prayer of confession to the Lord. This prayer is not meant for anybody else to read. Not meant for you to show someone. It's meant between you and the Lord Jesus. Thank you. continue to write as the Lord leads. The next prayer is just a prayer of consecration, commitment, dedication. And just saying, Lord, this year, 2019, is yours. It's your year. Whatever you want to do in me, I'm giving you my all in. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to give, whatever that is, it's the offering our bodies as that living sacrifice to the Lord. So if you're still continuing to pray, that's fine. I don't want to rush you. I certainly don't want to rush this time. This is an exciting time because then, now that we've spent time asking the Lord to examine our hearts, confessing those things before Him, now we come before Him with clean hands and a pure heart and just sort of a renewed sense of commitment and dedication to Him. Now we get to come together at the table, the Lord's Supper, that as we call it, where the night before Jesus was betrayed, where He desired to have this meal together with His disciples, with His closest followers, and He desired to have this meal with them, which was going to not just be remembered then, but was going to be observed continually for generation to come, and this is why we continue to do it today. Miss Penny went to get some of the kids because some of the kids are going to join us. Those who are have committed their lives to Jesus, they want to become and partake in this time with us as well. So I'm going to give them just a minute to get here. If you're still finishing up in your prayers, you take that time, and then we'll continue in just a minute. So in the Gospel of Matthew, we see one of the places where we find this supper taking place. And in verse 26, it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, 'Take and eat this. This is my body.' He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them also, saying, 'Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" So Jesus took two items that they had there in the dinner with them. They would have had a cup, probably just a single cup with wine in it. He used that as a picture. He also had a loaf of bread, and he had that also as a picture. And so he grabbed the loaf of bread, and before his disciples, he took it and he broke it physically in front of them so they could see it being broken. And he said, "This is my body, representative of my body that's about to be broken for you." Meaning, I'm about to go to the cross, and I'm going to be beaten and bruised and hurt and crucified and ultimately killed. I'm giving my body. Nobody's taking it from me. I'm giving it freely. Why? For you. He's looking at his disciples around that table, and he's saying, "I'm doing this for you, but not just for you, but for those throughout the whole earth to the end of time. I'm doing something here that's bigger than you could even imagine." And then he takes the cup, and he says, "This is going to represent my blood that's about to be shed and poured out." Why? For you. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus pouring out his blood, offering that covering for our sin, that atonement for your sins and for mine. We also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as the Apostle Paul is talking about this very thing, and he explains to them that this is going to be something that we do in remembrance. So whenever we do this, we were remembering. We're remembering what? We're remembering the life that Jesus lived. We're remembering the sacrifice that he made for us. But then he says to continue to do it until I come again. So it's a looking back of remembrance on what he did, but it's also an expectation of his coming. So we're doing this, remembering what he accomplished for us and celebrating that he's coming back for us again. Right? That when he died, he didn't stay dead. He rose again, so we worship and we remember a risen Savior. So as we come together to take this, we're remembering his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. And then also says to take care that we examine ourselves. Well, we've spent time doing that now, that we've examined our hearts and making sure that we're right before him before we come to take of the bread and the juice together. So here's what we're going to do as a church family. I'm going to invite you in just a minute. Whether you want to come as your family, I want you to come. I want you to tear a piece of bread off and grab your juice. And if you want to find a place up here at the front, or you want to go back to your seat, so everybody's going to come and you're going to grab it, and you're going to go back to your seat and hang on to it. Then we'll pray together, and then we'll partake on these things together. All right? So as you're ready, you can stand, come grab your bread, come grab your juice, and return to your seat or find a place with your family. If you don't have family here with you and you just want to couple up with somebody and pray with them, or you just want to be there by yourself, it's okay. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and blessed it. Where's Miss Penny? Penny, would you thank the Lord for his body? Thank you, Jesus, for your body that's broken for us. After they took the bread, then Jesus had the cup, and he passed it to his disciples, and he said, "This represents my blood that's shed for you." And after giving thanks for the cup, then they took it together, and Adam, would you pray for us? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood shed for us. Stephen. Well, worship team, will you guys come on back up? We're going to finish this, our time with singing. I was reading through this passage. I thought this is super cool. At the end of this passage, after it explains what the supper, check this out. In verse 30, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out together to the Mount of Olives." So after they took the supper together, it says they what? They sang a hymn together. Can you imagine being in a room with Jesus singing hymns together? So what I thought we would do as to sort of close our time out here is sing a few hymns together. So our worship team is going to lead us in some hymns. Please feel free to join and sing with us together. Also, during this time, if you have anything that you want someone to pray with you about, I'm going to be right over here. If there's a need or something that I can pray with you personally about, or Pastor Kevin or Pastor Heath or Penny, or there's others that are available, just reach out to someone next to you and say, "Will you pray with me? I need some prayer right now." If you have a burden on your heart and you want to share, then just be there for one another. That's what it means to be the church. And let's just worship the Lord together as we close our time out.